let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. It'll be great
Greetings,
to talk to you today.
Friend.
Good
yes.
to see you. And today we're going to continue the conversation. Conversation is a great word because that's
conversation
what,
of the that's, conversation.
That's what Moses is doing with God. Now, it's another one of these amazing things that, again, never really focused on it, but it's nice. Your blog post on AncientHopes.org leads me to really focus on certain just parts of the Scriptures, and this one is an interesting
one.
Well,
yeah, I'm just looking at this dialogue, you know, between God and man,
yeah,
between
weird.
A mortal and transcendent God, right?
Yeah, it takes you back to the Garden of Eden, you know,
well,
with Adam.
Yeah, yeah. It is, and of course, we're on a mountain, okay?
Right, yeah.
And this is considered to be a parallel to Eden, as we spoke of before,
right?
So there's a bush, there's a burning bush, God is speaking out of it. It's a numinous moment. And so, like, you know, all history is at a pause here, and because this is like one of the turning points of all the world, right?
Right, yeah.
And I get a real big kick out of Moses, right? You know, because, he's just sort of talking back to God with these objections.
Right. It sounds like me.
Right. Right. And you know something? They're all very good objections.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. And, you know, so in this—
Reasonable.
They're very, very reasonable objections, right? And if we remember on the last post, he says, well, who am I?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, who is he,
yeah.
You know, to do something that's stupendously beyond in the imagination of anyone, right?
Yeah, I'm just a shepherd guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. So we had that post, who am I and who are you? And, you know,
right.
God,
who's
you
God?
Know,
yeah.
is revealing his name, because that's the second one that is, well, they're going to say, who sent you? I mean, you know, who is this God, right?
Yeah.
That gets down to authority. And that's a good question, too. We should always ask, by what authority would I even be doing something like this?
Right.
Danny, that's really important, because when you have an encounter with God, you are given a sense of passion, divine passion. You know, this last Sunday was Pentecost, right?
Yeah, sure.
And you know, look at all that goes on with Pentecost, you know, gifts beyond our mortal abilities and stuff like that. Where does this come from? This is an authority that comes from God, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. So there's a revelation of his name, you know, and of course to have that revelation of God's name, that's power.
Yep.
That's authority, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Doesn't happen too often.
Well, Danny, maybe it happens more often than we think.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes. Have
right.
to be watchful of that.
Yeah, right. And then we come to today's thing. They're not going to believe me, right? being a priest and a pastor, and you know, what you're always trying to get people to do is to believe, right?
I mean,
in a lot of sense, you know, a lot of people are coming there, you know, with their arms folded and looking. Hey, I dare you to, you know,
to help me believe.
To help me believe.
Yeah, yeah.
At least it feels that way, right?
Yeah.
From my perspective, they're not going to believe me. Why am I doing this, right?
Right. Sure.
And so that takes us today, you know, in these negotiations, right? So let's see here. He knew that these Hebrews are going to be a tough lot.
Because he knows them.
He knows them, right? Yeah. God shows him two signs, right, that
yep.
he will do. right?
Things that he can use to show the people, I have this power. It comes from beyond me.
Yeah. Of course, the first one is this absolutely terrifying. He's got this rod in his hand, right? He says, throw it on the ground. And it becomes a snake.
Right.
Okay. Now, it doesn't say this, but I am certain that it's a cobra.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because the cobra is the symbol of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Because if you look at his hat, there's something called a uraeus, which is this hooded cobra that's protecting him. Then these cobras, I think, can spit, at least some types can spit poison in the eyes of its opponents. This is a scary thing, okay? So, but this is the snake motif. Now, where have we seen that before?
Got me.
Oh, yeah, no, you got it, Okay, we got it. It's in the garden.
I know, just kidding.
It's the garden, you know, where you have, you know, the snake and it's cursed, right?
Right.
So this takes us into this battle between the seed of the righteous seed who's going to crush the head of the serpent, right?
Yes.
And so we have this is picking up on that, you know, on that theme, right? But specifically, it's really aimed at undermining the power of Pharaoh.
Yes,
right?
power of evil. Yeah,
right. And so we're going to see what happens with that when he actually comes before Pharaoh.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't like snakes, but then I don't think anybody would, and most people don't pick up snakes by the tail like you think they can pick up by the tail. Although I did see in that movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy. Do you remember seeing that movie?
I do remember seeing it. I don't remember the part with the snake.
Well, these Bushmen, you know, that he came upon a cobra, you know, and, you know, I'd run the other way. What he did is dance around it, you know, and getting getting the snake confused and grabbed it by the tail and it immediately swung it around. Remember that? Which the blood goes into the head and the snake becomes completely docile and what have you like that. But I don't think anything like that's happening here. You know, usually if you pick a snake by the tail, it's going to swing around and bite you, but it doesn't. It becomes a staff again.
Yeah.
That's a pretty impressive, don't you think?
That's a pretty impressive trick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So this really, you know, again, it's crushing the head of the serpent. That he's saying that, you know, Egypt is really a paper tiger or paper cobra.
Okay.
And that's what it is. The world is so, what's the word? Has this show that means to impress its greatness upon you, you know, and that sort of thing. And God's exposing it for what it is. You know, it's no big deal. All this is kind of tied up in this sign that he's showing him.
Sort of
there.
A don't look behind the curtain kind of a thing. There's nothing behind.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Yeah. You know, there's nothing with Pharaoh. You know, nothing with, you know, with the world and the world of its powers, right? Okay, so the second sign is for Moses to place his hand into his bosom.
He puts it next to his chest,
Right, yeah, and pull it out. And it becomes leprous, okay.
Yeah, that was an interesting, with scales, yeah.
Yeah,
like
right.
Like snowflakes, that's it.
Yeah, now it becomes white like snow, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now this is not the leprosy that we know of. It's called elephantiasis.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to call it elephantitis, I don't know, but the name here, you know, is what we know of as leprosy, which probably came into the land of Israel in that area. Later on, it was contracted in India, I think, by Alexander's warriors. Okay, I talk more about this in a post that I written way ahead, which is in Leviticus on chapter 13. The post is called Looking Like Death. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
The skin disease. If you have a skin disease, you're out. Okay. Right. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hopefully, I don't know how many posts that'll be down the road, but there'll be a lot of them, right? Okay. So, anyways, this too has a lot of meaning, okay, to it, because as we shall see, Egypt was known for its diseases. Okay. And skin disease was one of those diseases, right?
Okay.
And there's always a connection between disease and moral corruption.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. And that's why, actually, you know, the Israelites couldn't have this disease and come before God, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot, you know, we'll see a lot about this later on, how important it was for Jesus to heal the lepers, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because that took away the stigma, okay, and we can come before God, you know, that sort of thing, because Jesus is our healer, both body and soul, you know, that sort of thing.
There's definitely an emphasis in, especially the Old Testament, I mean, for me, especially in the Old Testament, about being pure and bringing only pure things before God.
Exactly.
You know, for sacrifice, yeah. The pure mm-hmm. lamb, the best one of
right.
the fold. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to come up pretty soon when we get into the tabernacle and all that sort of thing, right? So we see that the fact that God, through Moses, is really showing his power over Egypt and its society.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
We see that the fact that God, through Moses, is really showing his power over Egypt and its society.
Yeah.
By these signs,
yeah,
right?
Definitely showing, and with this sign of this leprosy,
mm-hmm.
this skin ailment, the power to be able to bring it on and then immediately take it away.
That's right.
Because, that's showing quite some power. Yeah.
And of course, Egypt is the land of demons. And if anybody had a disease like this, they would consider it to be the curse by demons or what have you, right?
Yeah.
And magic and all this darkness stuff that's mm-hmm. going on in Egypt, whereas God's in full control of this thing. He can turn on, like you say, turn it on, switch it off, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so as incredible as this is, Moses is still unimpressed.
Yeah, I know. He's quite a guy.
So we have all these objections, like, who am I? What's your name? What am I going to tell them about you, right?
Yeah.
And they're not going to believe. That's third. Okay, there's five, actually. And there's a fourth one that's really, it's an interesting objection. Okay, he drums up an old liability he hopes will work to get him off the hook.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And that is his lack of eloquence, right?
Yeah.
I'm not eloquent. I'm a man of, actually, heavy lips, okay?
I can't speak clearly.
like me, you know?
Oh, no.
You know, so it's amazing how God responds. I mean, I've always been struck by his response. He says, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? It's almost as if God is boasting. Is it not I,
yes.
the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you know, think about how many mute people, how many blind people have read this whole thing. And,
right.
And there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, God.
Yeah, thanks, God. Right.
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just so, I mean, what God is saying here is just a display of divine sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
that everything is under his control, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, but one thing to be blind and to say, well, it's just mere fate that brought me here, right?
Yeah.
And then what do you do with that, Danny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Do you just sort of die or?
Yeah, all of us, you know, all of us have these things about ourselves and What do we think about their origin, right?
Yeah, sure.
If it's just by chance, or if it's by bad luck, or whatever, that doesn't make you feel so hot, does it? I mean, man, you know, I'm just an unlucky guy, or you know, and you look with envy at other people, and blah blah blah, right? But when you know it's from God, then you underlying that whole thing is there's some purpose, and purpose is what we all crave,
sure,
especially when we are experiencing these very difficult things in life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So God's got a plan for him, and actually God made him not eloquent. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, he certainly had a burning, eloquent heart, and that's what really matters, right?
Right.
But, you know, this is an impediment, you know? So what does he do then? Behind this boast, this divine boast, is the wonderful fact that our weaknesses are not accidents of nature, but thoughtfully given so as to mold us into the particular person God wishes to create in us, designed for his purposes. You know, I got a classic example here, right here, my banner, right? Mm-hmm. I've got a deformed right hand. Okay, it's not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've had it since my accident when I was 12 in 1967.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we call it an accident, right?
Yeah.
But it's not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lived with this for years, not having a clue. Well, there were different things, you know, about it. But, you know, one moment, I might have said this before in so many of these podcasts, but I got cut from the basketball team in my freshman year in college. And part of it is I couldn't drive with my right hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I remember coming out disheartened. Oh, what am I good for? Well, what do? I love the Bible. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to give myself completely over to Scripture.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see that, right?
Right. Yeah.
And now every time I say the Mass, I see my deformed hand.
Hmm.
And so it tells me something. Number one, it's not about me.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I'm really small. I'm deformed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yet God is working through my deformity, and it keeps me very humble. But I also am very much in awe that this right hand is so important to me up there, even though people might be observing it. And I'm saying to myself, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fine. There's nothing. It's not about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because right? You can say for sure that was part of what moved you down a path.
Down a path.
To bring you to this point
right,
in your life.
Right, yeah. And so it's kind of like Paul. I boast in my weakness.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys, you know, I'm not the greatest looking priest. I'm not the deformed priest, you know, but God uses people through the deformities he gives us to shape us.
Yes. Yeah.
For a certain thing, you know.
Right.
And that's the amazing thing about this, right? I know this is kind of going long here, but God's not in the mood to listen to this. And he says, you know, that's okay. I'll be with you. I'll be with your mouth.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And by that's not a small thing. To be with you, remember, is the covenant formula.
Okay. Yes, right.
If God's with you, everything is right.
Yes.
Okay. So how does he respond? I love it. He just tells God to his face, send someone else.
Yeah. Really?
Isn't after there somebody? Five objections.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And God has been patient with him with each one of the first four. Then when he...
Yeah, but I think he's running out of patience.
Yeah, though. when he said send someone else, it says that the wrath of God was, that's it. That's it. You know, right. I get a big kick out of that, you know. So there's a point where God says, okay, let's stop talking here. Let's get going, okay?
Yeah.
So I think we talked about it before. This reluctance to answer the call of God is a standard prophetic motif.
Right.
Nobody really wants to do what God wants them to do.
Yeah, because it's super hard.
Yeah, right.
And everybody knows. I mean, all the prophets know.
Yeah.
This is what you're asking me to do is an extremely difficult thing, and I'd rather just live my life the way I've been.
That's it. You know, that's it. But on the other hand, we're called to greatness. Every one of us,
right.
Whoever we are, is called to greatness.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's possible Danny, it's possible that we object and we just, in the end, say, I'm not going.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's it's sad to say that, but I think a lot of people are there.
Yeah.
And part of it is not actually saying to God, I'm not going, but it's kind of like by our choices, our moral choices in our lives, whatever choices we're making, keep us grounded in the mire of this world.
Yeah. Instead of moving us forward to a place where
right.
God can really bless us.
Yeah. And so we sort of make choices against this call daily, you know, but if we are daily, you know, seeking God, being open to God, the Spirit of God, which is knows us very well and is always probing to see a little crack in your own autonomous will, saying, oh okay, he's a gentleman, but I mean, if you give him a little bit in a room, he can flood your soul with light, you know?
Right, yeah, of course.
And so anyway, so there we have it, this conversation between God. And we're going to talk more about this as it goes along because these things keep on cropping up.
Yeah.
And so in the story, you know. So mm-hmm. anything else that you can think of?
Nope. Just reminds me again that Moses says the every man is me. And so every single time in my life that I've said, nah, I don't really want to do that to God. When there was a clear message to do a certain thing and with my life or move in a certain way or pray or be in relationship with somebody who's poor where it's hard.
Yeah.
Then I don't want to do it just like Moses. And so it just reminds me again that Moses is
right. Just like and all Danny, of us. I just thought of something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Something very important. God addresses this fourth objection by giving him his brother Aaron.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I'm actually okay. meant to mention.
Yeah. Who happened to be, just a better communicator, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is important because it means that, you know, Moses has granted as he is, he needs somebody else. We all need each other.
Right. Yeah.
To accomplish God's will. Right. That's huge. Right. Yeah. It's not like, I'm going to go Moses, and I'm going to take over the world. It's just that, he needs his brother and what have you, mm-hmm. and the gifts that his brother has. Right.
Right.
And still, this doesn't detract from his greatness because what Moses becomes like God to Pharaoh.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And Aaron is like God's prophet. God speaks to prophets and prophets speak to the world, right?
Yep.
It's kind of like Moses as God speaks to Egypt mm-hmm. through his prophet, sort of like, which is like Aaron, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is one thing I needed to bring up.
Yeah, and that's
well.
A great thing to remember that we all don't have all the gifts.
Right.
And we need to really... When it's important, we need to rely on that person who helps us
out. That's good. Okay.
Okay, good. Oh, thanks so much for coming in. I'm looking forward to the rest of the story.
Uh-huh. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.